Chapter 19, Tactical Deception. This chapter addresses those considerations unique to tactical deception operations. It provides an overview of tactical deception principles, types, means, and variations. It then discusses tactical deception planning, tactical deception in offensive and defensive operations, and risk. Overview of deception. As a principle of war, surprise is a combat multiplier that amplifies the effects of the other principles of war. Its effective use allows friendly units to strike at a time and place or in a manner that the enemy is unprepared for, which induces shock and causes hesitation. Every echelon works to achieve surprise in an operation, and only by multiple echelons working together is surprise achieved. The easiest way to achieve surprise is to use deception. Units throughout history have used deception to their advantage. It is an effective way to cause the enemy to dissipate their efforts and resources. Deception enhances the conditions that allow friendly units to concentrate forces at decisive times and locations. Executing tactical deception comes with costs. These costs include time, material, and risk. However, history shows that executing deception at any scale and echelon is almost always worth the costs. The enemy commander is the focus of tactical deception, but the enemy can delegate command authority to an alternate decision maker. This means that someone other than the commander needs to be deceived. Therefore, this chapter will refer to the enemy decision maker or commander as the deception target. The deception target is the adversary decision maker with the authority to make the decision that will achieve the deception objective, JP 3-13.4. Well-planned and executed deception, not luck, achieves surprise and its benefits in both the offense and defense. Deception can be as simple as using camouflage to conceal friendly forces' locations, capabilities, or intent. It could be the use of decoys to create false data for the deception target to deal with. Or it could be as complicated as a multi-phase and echelon operation that works in accordance to a larger deception operation. To understand this better, there are two types of deception: military deception and tactical deception. Military deception. Military deception is action executed to deliberately mislead adversary military decision makers as to friendly military capabilities, intentions, and operations, thereby causing the adversary to take specific actions or inactions that will contribute to the accomplishment of the friendly mission. JP 3-13.4. Military deception is typically executed at the combatant command level and requires planning, approval, and execution to adhere to theater-level instructions and Army Regulation 525-21. Additionally, information pertaining to tactical deception, TAC-D, executed in support of a military deception to include operations, training, and exercises are generally classified at the secret or higher level. The rest of this chapter is focused on tactical deception and the principles, types, means, and variations used. See FM 3-13.4 for more information and details on military deception planning. Tactical deception. Tactical deception concepts do not tie into an overall military deception operation. Units must understand that when executing TAC-D, they are not executing military deception at the tactical level. Tactical deception is a friendly activity that causes enemy commanders to take action or cause inaction detrimental to their objectives. Tactical deception operations are designed to support the commander's plan by enhancing the probability of mission success. It allows units to create windows of opportunity by causing the target to react or falsely interpret friendly operations. The purpose of TAC-D is to gain the initiative, reduce overall operational risk, preserve combat power. Properly planned and executed deception operations will make it possible for units to hide the real and display the false. Units use all available types, means, and variations of tactical deception to conceal friendly locations, capability, or intent until a time and place of the friendly commander's choosing. TAC-D by itself is never decisive, although it may be a main effort at some point during the operation. This distinguishes TAC-D from offensive, defensive, or stability operations and solidifies it as an enabling operation. As with all enabling operations, Units use TACD operations to complement current operations, transition between phases, transition between offense, defense, or stability, or set conditions for future operations. Tactical deception is an effective way to cause the enemy to squander time and resources on irrelevant objectives. Leaders conduct TACD at every echelon with either the resources they have or with assistance from their higher echelon. Integrating deception between echelons can be a useful tool in altering how the enemy views, analyzes, decides, and acts in response to friendly operations. If the deception effect would affect the friendly force scheme of maneuver outside the echelon's assigned area, it needs to be approved by the commander two echelons above the executing unit. For example, by using decoys in the defense to make friendly forces look three times bigger than it is and cause the enemy to attack elsewhere needs to be coordinated and approved by higher echelon commanders. If a unit is directly told to execute a deception action by their higher headquarters, the assumption is the higher headquarters has already received approval for that order. TACD is a commander-driven activity that is structured around principles, types, means, and variations used to set favorable conditions to achieve friendly objectives. Commanders decide the location and time to employ deception in support of operations. The principles of tactical deception provide subordinates fundamental guidance during the planning of all tactical deception operations. The desired effect describes the level of uncertainty that the friendly commander wants to achieve against an enemy decision maker. The means are the tools that friendly commanders use to accomplish tactical deception. Typically, the means are found in either the coordinating instructions of an order or through commander's guidance. Variations of tactical deception are missions that a higher headquarters can assign to a subordinate unit. Vital to the unit's ability to execute tactical deception is through maintaining operational security and ensuring the realism. Principles of Tactical Deception. Just as the principles of war provide general guidance for the conduct of military operations, the six principles of tactical deception provide guidance to planning deception. The principles of deception are centralized planning and control, focus, integration, objective, security, timing. Centralized planning and control. A centralized approach is necessary to provide clarity and to ensure various elements portray the same story and do not conflict with other objectives or evolving conditions in an operational environment. Execution of tactical deception may be decentralized as long as all participating organizations adhere to a single plan. Once the commander approves the deception plan, the designated operational element monitors the situation and its effects on the target, as well as friendly and partnered forces to ensure synchronization, deconfliction, and OPSEC. Focus. The deception plan should focus on the thought process of the deception target since they have the authority and capability of triggering the desired actions. The enemy's intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets are normally targeted. The nine forms of contact are the primary conduit used in the deception plan to convey selected information to the deception target. Focused deception must cause the enemy force to commit an action or inaction. Integration. Units should integrate deception throughout the planning process at all levels, since deception is an integral part of any operation. This integration includes developing a concept for deception that supports the overall mission as part of COA development. An integration of the deception operation throughout all phases of the operation begins with planning, continues through execution, and concludes with the termination of the deception. Objective. Deception plans focus actions and resources that motivate an enemy to cause desired actions or inactions. The plan cannot focus solely on motivating the deception target to believe certain things. It must lead to the deception target taking a specific course of action known as the objective of the deception. Security. Successful deception requires strict security that begins before execution with measures to deny the enemy knowledge of the friendly force's intent to deceive. Successful deceptions apply strict need-to-know criteria to each aspect of the plan. Maintaining this operational security means limiting the number of planners and participants to those needed. Timing. Critical to deception planning is proper synchronization with the commander's intent and maintaining synchronization during execution. Timing in deception operations is crucial. The challenge is to get the deception target to act in accordance with the deception plan within the timelines required by the friendly operation. Planners should conduct a thorough analysis to understand the amount of time required for an effect to pass through the forms of contact before reaching a deception target. Friendly deception executions must be completed in a manner that accounts for the time consumed by the enemy's intelligence collection and analysis process. The enemy's decision-making process and current activity is what must be exploited by friendly forces. Types of tactical deception. All deception aims to either increase or decrease the level of uncertainty in the mind of the deception target. This dilemma has the potential to compel the deception target to mistakenly perceive friendly motives, intentions, capabilities, and vulnerabilities, thereby altering the enemy's assessment and ultimately their actions. Two generally recognized types of deception are ambiguity increasing, confusion effect, ambiguity decreasing, confirmation effect. Ambiguity increasing deception, confusion effect. Ambiguity increasing deception provides the presentation of excessive true and false information to confuse the deception target and create internal conflict. This provides the enemy with many plausible friendly courses of action through evidence of intentions and capabilities that the friendly force does not possess. Critical to the confusion effect is that the evidence presented must be doctrinally feasible. The desired outcome would be action or inaction from the enemy that would lead to a tactical advantage for the friendly force. These actions could include a delay of a specific decision, operational paralysis, or the distribution of enemy forces to locations that cannot influence friendly efforts. This effect is best used when the deception target tends to be indecisive or risk-averse. Ambiguity decreasing deception, confirmation effect. Ambiguity decreasing deception exploits deception targets' pre-existing beliefs by confirming their desired expectations. This is provided to them through conditioning and diversion of intentional observations that convinces the enemy to be at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and under-equipped. The intent is to hide the real friendly intentions and current capabilities from the enemy through a vigorous defense of friendly force information requirements. This information, if uncovered, would be detrimental to the accomplishment of the mission for the friendly unit. The confirmation effect is best employed when deception targets tend to accept higher levels of risk with their force and are resolute in their decision-making. Both types are applied by using the deception principles. These principles can be best employed when the friendly unit has a reliable understanding of the current situation because desired effects of tactical deception provide a foundation to build their deception plan on in the planning process. Tactical deception means. Deception's means are applied to observables to increase the probability of being accepted by the deception target. Deception means are methods, resources, and techniques that can be used to convey information to the deception target, JP 3-13.4. There are two tactical deception means categories, physical and technical. Planners normally employ deception plans to supplement several means that aim to mislead multiple types of enemy sensors. This increases credibility and the likelihood of deceiving the deception target. Tactical deception means provide the signatures, associations, and profiles of friendly alleged activities to the enemy. Units employ as many means as possible within their capabilities to support tactical deception during all types of operations. Physical means. Physical means are resources, methods, and techniques used to convey information normally derived from direct observation or active sensors by the deception target. Most physical means also have technical signatures visible to sensors that collect scientifically or electronically. Planners typically evaluate physical means using characteristics such as shape, size, function, quantity, movement pattern, location, activity, and association with the surroundings. Examples might include movement of forces, decoy equipment and devices, security measures such as camouflage and concealment, tactical actions such as feints and demonstrations, reconnaissance, security, and surveillance activities. Movement of forces. Units frequently reposition forces to increase ambiguity to ongoing or planned operations. They also do this to hide the main effort. This repositioning is not limited to only maneuver forces, but can also apply to command and control nodes, fires, and sustainment assets. This frequent repositioning requires detailed terrain management and coordination across all echelons to prevent inadvertent concentration of forces, unnecessary congestion of routes, and reduce the likelihood of the repositioning creating unanticipated seams and gaps between units. Decoy equipment and devices. Within their capabilities, units use decoys to mislead enemy intelligence collection and direct the enemy's attention away from actual forces. These actions can include creating artificial pieces of equipment to constructing false battle positions that include appropriate cover and concealment. These include using devices that create false electromagnetic signatures. Security measures. Units employ OPSEC and execute survivability operations to protect friendly forces from enemy detection. Camouflage blends friendly actions and capabilities with their surroundings, while concealment makes those actions and capabilities unobservable to the enemy. When used in conjunction with other physical and technical means, camouflage and concealment aid in protecting friendly forces while simultaneously seeking to deceive an enemy. OPSEC includes denying the enemy access to information on friendly forces. From a physical means perspective, examples include but are not limited to denying personnel access to friendly bases and locations and establishing blocking positions to hinder an enemy's ability to obtain visual contact on unit assembly areas by establishing checkpoints along routes. Tactical actions. Units can employ any number of actions to support tactical deception. These can range from larger-scale actions, such as feints and demonstrations, to small-unit actions, such as frequent repositioning of forces. Commanders at all levels ensure their units incorporate tactical deception within their plans. Reconnaissance, security operations, and surveillance. As the enemy begins to lose its active intelligence collection capability, its ability to detect the friendly force's deception becomes progressively more difficult. Established procedures and doctrine make friendly deception operations easier to conduct. These procedures result in distinct and recognizable offensive patterns. Many units have enhanced their offensive capabilities by applying deception variations. Increasing patrol and reconnaissance activities in areas away from the main attack may confuse the enemy. However, friendly activity should not vary with normal procedures to the extent that they reveal friendly forces who are engaged in deception. For example, a friendly commander may conduct reconnaissance in an area away from the main effort's objective, potentially causing the enemy to shift focus away from the friendly force's main effort. Technical means. Technical means are resources, methods, and techniques used to convey or deny selected information or signatures. Often, technical means use technical equipment to or from the deception target by manipulating electromagnetic, acoustic, or other forms of energy or through smell. Technical means may be applied with corresponding physical means or alone to replicate something physical that is absent from visual contact. Planners integrate technical means with other technical activities of the operation. Higher headquarters may impose restrictions and limitations on the use of specific technical means for TAC-D. This is because they might interfere with an ongoing military deception, or the effects of the technical means might extend into another friendly unit's assigned area. Examples of technical means might include the establishment of communications networks and interactive transmissions that replicate a specific unit type, size, or activity. Emission or suppression of chemical or biological odors associated with a specific capability or activity. Organic capabilities that disrupt an enemy sensor or affect data transmission. Variations of tactical deception. Tactical deception variations are operational constructs that encompass a broad range of deceptive activity and information integrated as a component of the overall plan. A unit may be told to conduct one of the two variations of TAC-D, feints, and demonstrations. These variations are often best employed in TAC-D to support the commander's objectives. These variations should not be confused with the tactical deception means. They are deliberate operations that require higher echelons' approval. The selected variation and its use depend on the planner's understanding of the current situation, as well as the commander's desired end state. All other deception guidance should be issued in the coordinating instructions or done to accomplish the commander's intent. Units should consider cost of tactical deception in terms of resource expenditure. For tactical deception to appear real, units must dedicate adequate resources. Units should also measure costs in risk and flexibility. For example, it may be very risky for the success of a unit's main effort to rely solely on the success of a planned demonstration. Should the demonstration not produce the expected enemy reaction, it could cause the main effort to fail. Flexibility is built into the plan by using branches, sequels, or executable deceptions. While feints and demonstrations are specific tactical deception operations, they are not the sole way a unit should use tactical deception. Units can use many of the variations of offensive and defensive operations to deceive an enemy. For example, units can incorporate a retrograde that forces the enemy into an engagement area. Units use their collective creativity within the time, resources, and authorities allowed to develop plans that achieve the commander's end state. Whenever units determine to use feints, demonstrations, or another variation of offensive or defensive operations as a means of deception, they are required to gain approval. This approval comes from the commander that is two echelons higher than the requesting units. For example, a corps commander is the approval authority for a brigade commander requesting to execute a feint or demonstration as part of their plan. Units have two options to disseminate the tactical deception plan to their subordinates. It is imperative that the unit maintains operational security for the success of the operation. The first option is for the unit's leaders to know the true task and purpose of the organization. Subordinates may receive a different task and purpose in order to maintain operational security. The second option is for the unit to provide complete briefings to their subordinates. In both options, caution must be exercised to ensure that deception details are not mentioned in their operation orders. OPSEC must be recognized as a vital element of the variation of the tactical deception. Feint. A feint is a variation of tactical deception that makes contact solely to deceive the adversary as to the location, time of attack, or both. The feint leads the enemy into erroneous conclusions about friendly dispositions. Feints are usually offensive in nature and closely resemble an attack. However, they can be executed during other operations. A feint requires engagement with the enemy to give the appearance of the main attack. The principal difference between a feint and an attack is that friendly forces assign their troops an objective limited in size, scope, or some other measure. It should contribute to the overall accomplishment of the mission and deceive the enemy. Forces conducting feints make direct fire contact with enemy forces and potentially decisively engage to draw resources from the enemy to enable the success of the friendly force's main effort. Several purposes for feints include causing the deception target to employ their second echelon forces other than intended, move away from the main attack toward the feint, or to hold the enemy's second echelon force in its current location, shift its supporting fires from the friendly main attack to the feint, reveal enemy defensive fires and capabilities. A single event feint might not always deliver the desired effect. Instead, a series of recurring feints might be necessary to deceive the enemy decision maker. For example, repeated raids may condition the enemy to confirm the commander's perception that the friendly commander lacks the combat power to conduct a main attack. The enemy may become so accustomed to the pattern of raids that it takes little or no action when the friendly main attack actually occurs. The enemy will consider it as another raid. Another important consideration for the execution of a feint is the location. Observing the terrain and enemy disposition, the commander or staff considers the enemy's area of interest. The deception target may not react as desired to the presented threat because it is of little value to the enemy. Whether or not the enemy may displace its force if the feint is deployed beyond the range of its direct and indirect fires based on its current positions. An assigned area that is sufficient for the successful execution of the feint without interfering with the main attack. Units conduct feints before or during the main attack. Therefore, planners consider the timing of the main attack in determining the time for the feint. The estimated time necessary for the enemy to react in the desired manner also influences the timing of the tactical deception. A feint before a main attack usually requires carefully determined lead time. The precise time a feint occurs will vary depending on the commander's intent. Moving additional forces will require more time than shifting fires. For example, if the intent is to move the second echelon forces, the feint has to be initiated well ahead of the main effort. A feint conducted simultaneously with the main attack may cause the enemy to divert its attention and possibly a portion of its forces and supporting fires. A feint conducted after the main attack is launched can hold the enemy's uncommitted forces in its present location. Faced with a new threat, the enemy becomes uncertain about the location of the main effort. Friendly forces consider the pattern of previous operations. For example, if friendly forces have regularly made attacks 2 hours before daylight, it may be desirable to conduct a feint at this time. Although the timing of a feint is influenced by such factors, the timing of the main effort would most likely be the main consideration. Demonstration. A demonstration is a variation of tactical deception used as a show of force in an area where a unit does not seek a decision and attempts to mislead an adversary. It is similar to a feint, but direct or indirect contact with the adversary is not intended. A demonstration may be conducted for the purpose of deceiving the enemy by visual contact with the expectation of luring them into a COA favorable to friendly lines of operation. While a demonstration has certain advantages over the feint, it lacks the realism. The advantages of a demonstration are: absence of direct and indirect contact with the enemy facilitates subsequent employment of the demonstration force elsewhere. A full force is not always necessary because no contact is made with the enemy. It is essential that a demonstration is combined with real capabilities to provide a creditable threat. It permits the use of simulation devices, when available, in place of real items to deceive the enemy's information collection. The disadvantages of a demonstration are: it is more difficult to validate the threat to the enemy without direct or indirect contact. It is more likely that a demonstration will be identified as a deception earlier in the operation than a feint. A demonstration can be used successfully when there is time and distance between the enemy positions and the demonstration force that makes the lack of contact appear realistic to enemy forces. In essence, a demonstration attempts to gain enemy response in an area where a friendly force is displayed. However, as the enemy reacts, the friendly force withdraws without engagement. The direct exposure of sustainment operations can illustrate a demonstration. Many times, sustainment operations are much more visible than combat preparations and become a key indicator of location, type, and time for when combat operations will be conducted. Sustainment operations used in support of tactical deception seek to confirm the deception target's perceptions as to where friendly forces will commit their main efforts. After the unit determines what variation of tactical deception it wants to use to enable its operation, the unit determines its observables. Observables are often made up of executions, which can include events, activities, or elements of information that must be seen or sensed by the target to form the desired perceptions. Tactical deception planning. Units should consider deception in all activities of the operations process. It is unlikely that an under-resourced and non-integrated tactical deception will succeed, and the longer tactical deception is not accounted for in the operations process, the more probability it will fail. Tactical deception can be used to support a range of missions and to prevent duplication of deception efforts. Therefore, leaders should coordinate tactical deceptions both laterally and vertically. Preparing and executing a tactical deception requires the same considerations as any operation, but has some key additions in the planning phase. Tactical deception is integrated early during the planning process to increase its effectiveness in causing the enemy to act or react in a desired manner. Prior to the integration of deception, commanders must determine the desired effects on the enemy. Tactical deception focuses on the enemy's decision-making process. Tactical deception must end in an enemy decision to act or not act in a way that supports an operation. The enemy decision-making process occurs in the see-think-do planning methodology. C. What significant physical and technical indicators can the enemy see, sense, or detect? Think. Do these indicators lead the enemy to believe what it sees, senses, or detects? Do. Has the enemy decided on an action or inaction based on what it believes? Planners use the see-think-do planning methodology in reverse to guide deception planning, execution, and assessment. Planners begin by identifying what they want the enemy to do, then determining what the enemy must think in order to act as desired, and finally establishing what the deception target must see to encourage thinking that way. Successful deception operations are those that do more than make the target believe or think the deception is true. The deception target must make a decision to act or not act in a way that favors friendly operations. Deception planners use this planning methodology to ensure that each tactical deception is properly constructed. They develop courses of action based on the tactical plan. They integrate any revised commander's guidance and updated intelligence analysis to refine and complete their deception plan using the six-step deception planning process. See FM3-13.4 for more detail on tactical deception planning process. Tactical deception in offensive operations. The intent of TACD in the offense is to enhance the friendly force's course of action by avoiding the enemy's strengths, striking their weaknesses, and gaining overall surprise. An important consideration in tactical deception is that the unit must be able to exercise some influence over its assigned area. The unit needs to influence through some offensive action and not merely react to the enemy's defensive actions. Showing the enemy multiple observables of a particular intention is the most convincing way to sell the tactical deception. The unit's tactical deception should be employed in an environment in which the unit has more options available than the enemy has combat power to cover. If the enemy can effectively defend against all avenues of approach, then deceiving it as to the friendly choice becomes much less significant. As influence over the assigned area begins to increase, the unit's options, and therefore its opportunity for deception, begin to increase. As the enemy's influence begins to diminish, its intelligence collection capability becomes more degraded by increasing friendly control of the assigned area. Consequently, the enemy's ability to assess friendly capabilities and probable intentions shifts to an environment of relative uncertainty. The opportunities for deception continue to increase. The enemy is required to make more tactical decisions based on the remaining, often uncorroborated, intelligence. Deception operations induce the enemy decision-maker to view the operation from multiple courses of action. This provides friendly commanders the ability to develop favorable and exploitable courses of action. Because of induced misperceptions of the battlefield, the enemy in defense is not given time to identify the composition, location, and time of the friendly force's attack. As the enemy begins to lose its active intelligence collection capability, its ability to detect the friendly force's deception becomes progressively more difficult. Established procedures and doctrine make friendly deception operations easier to conduct. These procedures result in distinct and recognizable offensive patterns. Many units have enhanced their offensive capabilities by applying deception variations. Increasing patrol and reconnaissance activities in areas away from the main attack may confuse the enemy. However, friendly activities should not vary with normal procedures to the extent that they reveal friendly forces who are engaged in deception. For example, a friendly commander may conduct reconnaissance in an area away from the main effort's objective, potentially causing the enemy to shift focus away from the friendly force's main effort. Tactical deception in defensive operations. Due to the relatively static nature of defensive operations at the lower tactical levels, tactical deception takes on an increased importance. Tactical deception is used in the defense to preserve combat power by hiding the location of friendly forces in the main battle area, the main effort, and friendly reserves. By concealing friendly defensive positions, this preserves combat power and improves survivability. This causes the enemy to expend combat power and exhaust intelligence efforts and resources unprofitably, creating false targets to cause the enemy to misuse reconnaissance efforts and firepower is a concurrent, coordinated activity during all phases of the defense to cause the enemy to pursue a COA favorable to friendly operations. At the point of the attack, the enemy has decided on its course of action. It is easier to convince the enemy to continue that course rather than alter its plans or tactics. A successful tactical deception operation conducted by a defender can result in the inappropriate deployment of attacking enemy forces. Maintaining that tactical deception can result in the continued commitment of enemy forces at a time and location least advantageous to the enemy. In the defense, operational security is an ally of tactical deception. For example, the enemy has decided on a course of action. It is easier to convince them to continue their course of action than alter their plan. A successful deception in the defense can result in the inappropriate deployment of attacking enemy forces. The far easier task of maintaining that deception can result in the continued commitment of enemy forces at a time and location least advantageous to them. Risk to tactical deception. Tactical deception, by its very nature, implies taking calculated risks to gain the tactical advantage over the enemy. Planned deceptions allow friendly forces to sequence the presentation of the battlefield to the enemy in the manner in which friendly forces allows the enemy to view the battlefield. Units should be aware that deceptions may produce unintended and unwanted consequences, believing that a threat is real and enemy can act unpredictably. Proper planning and coordination and knowing the enemy can reduce the chance that deceptions will result in unfavorable action. Friendly forces consider second and third order effects of the deception plan to mitigate unintended consequences. The possibility of failure stems from the uncertainties surrounding how the target receives and interprets information intended for the target, and eventually, how it affects the target's desired perceptions. If discovered, resources used for the deception may be in jeopardy. As with any military operation that puts forces at risk, leaders decide to use deception after a deliberate assessment that weighs opportunity against need and cost against benefit.